This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you news of the world. Tonight, Washington, look out, inflation, both parties are after you. London, Molotov spurns history, repeats himself again. Rome, now it's Italy's turn to take on the communists. Los Angeles, the battle of the birth rate. Now a brief message from Tom Moore.
Are you starting the week with a miserable cold? Chances are you have plenty of company. But records show that more people catch cold on Monday than on any other day of the week. But in this case, misery doesn't love company quite so much as it would love relief. So for much of that distress, try Alka-Seltzer's easy, pleasant ABC cold comfort treatment. Listen.
A, Alka-Seltzer.
Take Alka-Seltzer at once for prompt relief from the ache all over feverish misery of a cold. And for continued relief, follow the directions on the Alka-Seltzer package.
B, be wise.
Beware of drafts and overheated rooms. And be sure to get more rest than usual.
C, comfort.
Yes, comfort the sore throat caused by your cold. Dissolve 2 Alka-Seltzer tablets in a quarter glass of warm water and use this as a gargle. That's Alka-Seltzer's ABC cold comfort treatment, so try it if you have a miserable cold. Now, do you have plenty of Alka-Seltzer there at home? Well, now remember, keep an extra 30 or 60 cent size package on hand. Buy 2 instead of 1. Good advice. If you heat it, you'll have Alka-Seltzer when you need it. Now, Alka-Seltzer brings you the noted commentator, author, and reporter, Morgan Beatty.
The Republican High Command has now developed an anti-inflation program to put before the 80th Congress and the country. Representative Jesse Wolcott of Michigan, chairman of the Spark Plug Banking Committee, released it today. He proposed to lower the antitrust law barriers just far enough to permit whole industries to agree to lower the cost of living. Otherwise, they'd be tripped up on the Sherman statutes for fixing prices. That's the basic Wolcott idea, as opposed to the basic Truman suggestion that he be given a big stick in the shape of authority to ration scarce goods and control prices, a club the president would use only in case prices or scarcities got out of hand. In addition, Mr. Wolcott proposes that the president be given the right, as he himself has suggested, to control exports, to balance them against the need for domestic stability. The Wolcott plan also calls for an increase to 40% in gold reserves in banks, instead of the special pyramid type of reserve control proposed by Mariner S. Eccles, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. In New York today, Senator Taft hinted that the Republicans would lead strongly on a series of anti-inflation planks that include voluntary savings campaigns, limitations on exports, and higher productivity among workers. Rationing, he said, should not be brought back unless absolutely necessary, although the senator added there will be a shortage of meat next spring that might lead to rationing. In that case, two things should happen in his view. First, we should ration other countries before we ration ourselves, and second, we should adopt the British system. Ration by controlling the amount of money a housewife can spend on meat rather than by coupons. But these trial balloons indicate the trend of events, a substitute for Truman controls at home while accepting Truman Marshall aid abroad in its tadpole or interim state. Meanwhile, a minority of Republicans fought a rearguard action today against the temporary or interim Marshall Plan for Europe. But their pet amendments, designed to whittle the bill down to a whistle, failed. And Representative Leo Allen, the Illinois Republican, who himself opposes the $590 million message, told reporters there would not be more than 75 votes against final passage of aid to France, Italy, and Austria, possibly on Wednesday. At the same time, interim aid abroad jumped officially another $500 million upward in prospect today, past the billion-dollar mark. The Army asked for $490 million more to cover occupation costs in Germany and Japan. Meanwhile, in France tonight, the government frankly switched from a policy of viewing strikes with alarm to an aggressive go-get-the-communists strategy. Premier Robert Schuman's government told strikers they must return to work by Wednesday and they'll get no pay for days lost during their walkouts. But just for insurance sake, the cabinet offered tempting bait to workers to turn on their communist leadership. Workers will get, if they do get back on the job inside the ultimatum period, a cost-of-living premium of 1,500 francs. That's $13 a month, retroactive to November the 24th. And all else will be forgiven except sabotage during the strike. This action came today after the subway workers thumbed their noses, in effect, at their communist leaders and reported for work as usual in the face of a strike call. Only 10% of the subway workers refused to put their hands on a throttle. Coal production is now being resumed in the north of France, and sailors and soldiers are generating power in the capital of France and hoisting garbage also in that capital. The Big Four in London have now completed their first tour of the world, on paper that is, in their quest for peace and agreement. And they're back now at a strange place. You might say it's the place where they came in, or at least it's the place where they set out to find peace. Here's Merrill Muller in London.
The Council of Foreign Ministers narrowly averted dismal failure tonight in their efforts to find agreement on the economic unity of Germany as the first step to the German peace treaty. A transfusion of new life, which may last another week, was brought about by Secretary Marshall's diplomatic initiative in forcing questionable concessions from Molotov through a new document of Russian demands on Germany. Molotov submitted such a document this afternoon, plus another, which was a long and bitter harangue of the Western powers, who were charged with taking economic advantage of Germany in order to strategically dominate Europe. The Marshall Aid Plan was the most dangerous phase of this effort, Molotov said. Much to Molotov's surprise, his documents were found unacceptable as similar to ones previously rejected, and his charges were termed perversion of facts by Lord Pakenham, deputizing for Ernest Bevin. Thereafter, in discussion, Molotov was slowly pressured by Marshall, Pakenham, and Beto into conceding first that the $10 billion reparations bill which Moscow wants was not a prerequisite to a German settlement, but it must be considered simultaneously with Germany as a whole, and second, that a British paper on German political and economic unity could be used as the guiding document for conference discussion to which pertinent Soviet proposals could be added. Molotov could have made these two concessions months ago. He had no sooner made them, however, than he reverted to his former stalling. He refused to consider having Russia share the occupation costs of the Western powers, although the Soviet is admittedly getting large reparations from the Eastern Zone. By such juggling, Molotov avoided responsibility for a breakdown, and the conference staggers on. This is Merrill Muller in London.
The Italian communists seem to have taken over the disturbance burden in Europe where the French communists are leaving off. For that story, we intended to go to Italy, but the Rome signal is not legible. So we'll have our Rome dispatch from John McVane in New York.
The Italian Communist Party today again flexed its biceps in Rome as a warning to Premier De Gasperi's Christian Democrats who control the government. Thousands of Communist Party members, the estimates run from 10 to 50,000, carried the body of a young colleague who was killed in a riot on Friday almost the entire length of the Italian capital. Many of the communists were the same young communist partisan groups that paraded yesterday protesting against the De Gasperi government. Today's march was a silent one, but it served to underline the threat of a general strike that the communists made when they demanded government action by Wednesday to give work to the unemployed. The police today promised to investigate the death of the riot victim. A statement by the police emphasized the bullet which killed him was not of police caliber. The marching through the streets is another move in the Moscow war of nerves that's being waged in Italy. Last week in France, the communists tried a general strike and failed because the workers refused to go along with the political move. This week, the communists may try again in Italy. Today was an official holiday in Rome, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Pope Pius addressed several thousand young men of the Italian Confederation of Catholic Action in words interpreted as an answer to the communist demonstration. He told them to be prepared, like early Christian martyrs, to defend their faith. He asked them, "Are you ready?" And the thousands of young Catholics shouted, "Si, viva il Papa." Yes, long live the Pope. This is John McVane in New York.
We are happy to report tonight, and we do mean happy, that Americans are finding something constructive to argue about, even amusing. To explain, here's John Storm in Los Angeles.
Two of America's leading cities are shouting at each other like a couple of fishwives over 3,000 miles of backyard. In fact, they're third and fourth cities of the land, and that's just what the argument's about, which is third and which is fourth. It all started some 6 weeks ago when Los Angeles announced it had leapfrogged Philadelphia into third place behind Chicago. Philadelphia let out a bellow of protest and dispatched a special emissary to the City of the Angels, armed with a slide rule and a satchel full of statistics. Since then, the argument has degenerated into a shrill, "yes, I am, no, you're not" sort of thing. It can be proved or disproved according to your personal loyalty with a half dozen different yardsticks. I've just talked to W.E.E. Alison, head of the Federal Census Bureau here, and he said there's no official way of proving which of the two cities proper is larger. But he's personally convinced Philadelphia is still out ahead by a scant margin. But if you speak in terms of that nebulous entity known as the metropolitan area, then Los Angeles wins. Because it has 3,900,000 against Philadelphia's 3,373,000. The latest round was fired this morning, when Los Angeles Health Director George Yule said Los Angeles would yield a crop of 40,000 babies this year. Those figures were scarcely out of his mouth before his counterpart in the City of Brotherly Love said Philadelphia would chalk up 50,000 births this year, or 10,000 more than Los Angeles. But in any event, results of the population race won't be official until the next federal census is out in 1950. This is John Storm in Los Angeles.
Now, around the world by datelines in a minute and a half. Budapest, Hungary. Soviet-trained Marshal Tito of Yugoslavia forged another link today in a chain of Balkan defenses based on Russia. The Marshal signed up a military mutual aid treaty with Hungary. Last month, he signed with Bulgaria. And soon, he said, he'd attach his name to a defense treaty with Romania. He hopes the treaty chain may, as he put it, hinder capitalistic, imperialistic states from fishing in troubled waters. Washington, Senator Noland of California, protested today against police state methods used against American officials in Romania. He said the homes and automobiles of American diplomatic and military representatives had been searched by Romanian secret police. And he added, I hope the State Department will take vigorous action against this type of thing in Romania. Cairo, the Arab League announced tonight that it's taking immediate measures for military and other action to prevent the creation of a Jewish state in Palestine. And the exiled Mufti of Jerusalem, the spiritual leader of the Arabs, issued a statement. When the sword speaks, he said, everything else must be silent. He did not explain. Jerusalem, 8 Jews and an Arab died today in the continuing turmoil over the partitioning of Palestine. That brings the official death toll up to 90 persons in 9 days. Washington, the Senate ratified today by the whacking vote of 75-1 the hemisphere agreement against an aggressor. Senator Tom Connally called the defense treaty a challenge to any alien or foreign influence which might seek to attack this hemisphere, either openly or by infiltration. And Senator Vandenberg said this was a significant moment to demonstrate the solidarity of the Americas. And that's what happened around the world today.
Morgan Beatty will return with some more late news. Now, you've heard this before. For occasional acid indigestion, be wise, alkalize with Alka-Seltzer. We know you like the way Alka-Seltzer eases that jittery distress in the stomach, the way it acts to reduce excess gastric acidity. You like the clean, fresh taste of Alka-Seltzer, for it's not at all like some bitter-tasting medicine. Yes, for acid indigestion, be wise. Alkalize with Alka-Seltzer.
When you buy vitamins, get the greatest value for your money. Listen.
Penny for penny, you get more milligrams of vitamins when you buy one-a-day brand multiple vitamins.
Yes, penny for penny, one-a-day brand multiples give you more milligrams of vitamins than any other nationally known brand of multiple vitamins sold by your druggist. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which requirements have been established in human nutrition. Dependable for strength, purity, quality, and...
Penny for penny, you get more milligrams of vitamins when you buy one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. Now, here again is Morgan Beatty.
And here are signs of our times. Washington. President Truman returned from his 5-day vacation in southern Florida today, smiling and well-tanned. He announced he'd have his message on long-range aid for Europe ready for Congress soon. New York. Chairman Eddie Egan of the New York State Athletic Commission refused to intervene today in the decision that gave Joe Louis a shade over Jersey Joe Walcott last Friday night. In fact, Mr. Egan may have rubbed a little salt in Jersey Joe's wounded pride. He said the commission did not make it a practice to review decisions. He granted a hearing because Walcott came from another state and might not have full knowledge of the New York rules. Washington, the CIO agreed today to postpone the threatened strike of atomic energy workers at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, for 30 days. That's at the request of the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service. Tyler, Texas. Student pilot W.B. Meyer landed a small rented plane today and started to get out after a practice run. Instead, he was thrown out and the plane took off by itself. Another flyer took off immediately in pursuit and lost the trail 12 miles away. 2 hours and 40 minutes later, the runaway plane crashed 65 miles to the south. Boy, we just missed a war with Mexico over that one. And that, until tomorrow at this same time, is News of the World. This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.